Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations, forgotten. The history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever, and you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit workday.com to learn more.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, I'm fired up about this one. Huge fan of our next guest here. You guys have seen him calling, a variety of sports, but most recently this season, you've seen him as a part of TNT Sports calling some of the first round NBA playoff action here. Gus Johnson, kind enough to join us now here. Gus, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Doing great. Thank you for having me on your show. It's going to be a great basketball season. It's turned out to be a great playoff season, so it's nice to be a part of that. And nice to just be here, you know, kicking it with you guys, talking about my favorite thing, and that's sports.
Yeah, lot to talk about with you, especially the number of sports you call. I'm always amazed by play-by-play guys. As Mike and I are analysts, just football, all the different things you do is amazing. We'll get to that. But one of the things we've been talking about, Gus, in the NBA, going through these playoffs and watching the Jalen Brunsons do that, the Anthony Edwards, SGA over in Oklahoma City. You know, some of the young players that are kind of taking over the game, not only taking it over, but their teams have legit chances to win championships, as we are seeing a changing of the guard, it would seem, in the NBA at this point.
You know, isn't it wonderful? I think it's just so healthy for the league. And, you know, for so long, we've had players like LeBron and Steph and KD, that James Harden, that have led the way. They've gotten older. And now you see these young guys. I mean, this Anthony Edwards is, he's such a breath of fresh air. He is so wonderful. He is just, I mean, just cut out of Mount Olympus in terms of great athletes and good looking kid, beautiful smile, great personality, and just a killer on the court. And Jalen Brunson, who I covered in college when he was at Villanova, just to see what he's done, coming in as a second round pick and leaving Dallas and coming to New York and becoming the consciousness of an entire organization. And he's about 6 feet and a half, 6'1" tops. So I think, you know, SGA down in Oklahoma City, I'm really looking forward to seeing them in the second round, because they got a great young team and he's a sensational player. I think the future of the NBA is very bright. And then you combine it with the great international players. I mean, Doncic and Jokic and Giannis and Embiid, even though Embiid is now going to be playing for the United States national team. It's just wonderful to see these stories of these people now coming from all over the world and how they've changed the game. It's not a grinded out game anymore. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Now it's, you know, precision and high skill levels. A guy like Victor Wembanyama, 7 foot, who knows, and is handling the ball in space like a guard. I mean, he's an avatar, rookie of the year. I love the NBA. I think the NBA is in a great place and look forward to seeing how these playoffs develop.
Yeah, Gus, how does that energy compare? I mean, so many people, I think, like me, have watched you calling games in college basketball, watched you call college football every fall, and now being around the pro game, especially at this juncture here, how does being in the arena for something like that compare to some of the other sports you've called?
Well, you know, I was the voice of the New York Knicks for, 14 years, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves for 3 years, voice of the Milwaukee Bucks. No, voice of the Milwaukee Bucks for 3 years, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves for a year. So I've always been a part of the NBA, just not as more on a regional side. But I think that the energy in the pro game, it's a different kind of energy in the college game. The college game, it has youthful energy. But the pro game, it's you're watching the best players in the world, and these fans that cover, that watch these teams year in and year out for generations and generations, they know the game, they own an organization, they know the league. And it's in the arena, there's more of a ferocity. Like, it's almost like Bloods and Crips sometimes, you know? You look at that game. The Knicks fans went down to Philly and they just took over in terms of attendance and making their presence felt. And it was very tribal. So that's what I see when I watch. That's the difference to me when I watch the college and the pros in terms of the energy and obviously the talent of the pros are the best players in the world.
You know, we talked about the changing of the guard, but also the building of a team like in Minnesota, the Pacers, the Knicks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, teams that are doing very well now. Are we also seeing a shift, Gus, in away from the manufacturing of super teams, Durant going someplace or LeBron when he went to Miami and then to L.A.? Are we moving past that and going back to kind of seeing built from the ground up teams here and there? Obviously, there's trades and moves that are still made, but a little different than the building of the super team?
Well, Mike Senior, I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I despise the building of the super teams. I really despise that because in the 80s, when I really watched basketball, you know, Isaiah had his team. Jordan had his team. Olajuwon had his team. Barkley had his team. And Magic had his team, even though he was with Kareem and Worthy and Byron Scott and places like that. But Larry Bird had his team with Kevin McHale, the Chief, and Danny Ainge and stuff. But I love the fact that we are getting away from super teams. And you see the team like the Knicks. Knicks are not a super team. But first of all, you guys see I'm wearing my logo over there. I went out and bought my hat. Where is my hat? Do you see my hat? And I also got my...
There you go.
Can you see it? Can you see it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I did game one of their playoff series with Philly. Did some games for the Knicks during the regular season as well. But thank goodness these super teams are going away. I mean, look at the Knicks. I love Jalen Brunson and what he's done. And it's kind of his team right now. And we're not worried about adding a bunch of different superstars that could destroy the chemistry of this particular squad. So I love to see what they're doing. You got one major player, Anthony Edwards. He's got great supporting cast on there with Carl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. But it's Anthony Edwards. And here in New York, it's Jalen Brunson. And in Oklahoma City, you know, it's SGA. So I think that's awesome. And I think we're going to see teams building with, you know, one star or two stars on the squad. And I think that's healthy for the NBA.
It does kind of have that feel of the old school basketball you described where guys are enjoying more of that homegrown environment around them. You've mentioned Anthony Edwards a couple of times. I'm curious then how you feel about all the Jordan comparisons that he's getting. I know he's tried to shrug it off himself, but when you watch that player after seeing Michael Jordan's career, how much of that do you think is actually appropriate?
You got a better jumper at this point. I'm just saying. because I know that's something he worked on. And I know that's something that Michael didn't have to do when, during his era. Yeah, I love the Jordan comparisons. We need an African-American superstar in the NBA to help carry the torch. We need an American-born player. You know, got a lot of great international cats. As I mentioned, Jokic and Wembanyama and Embiid and Doncic and Giannis, SGA, I think he's Canadian. So it's good to see a superstar that's an American kid that comes from here, from Georgia, was a football player. I love the Jordan comparisons because Jordan is the GOAT. Let me say it again. Jordan is the GOAT. And Jordan doesn't have to say he's the GOAT because everybody knows who the GOAT is. Six championships. That's all I have to say. MVPs, conference, you know, finals MVPs, all that kind of stuff. Michael Jordan. So it's great to see it. And I think from what they tell me, and I called an Anthony Edwards game last year in the playoffs. I think they played Denver too. He didn't have a great game, but he looks every bit of 6'6". Same height as Jordan. So just a handsome, regal, almost, you know, mythical looking player with an incredible kind of explosion and just a killer, killer mentality. I love what he told Kevin Durant at the end of the series when they beat Phoenix. He said, yeah, old man, go home. This league's not for you anymore. I'll see you in the offseason. I'll see you. Team USA, but you going home. And he said he couldn't wait to get to training camp with the United States Olympic team to give Kevin Durant a hard time. But that's what I remember about basketball. Kids would come out of college and they were not afraid of these pros because they had young legs and they would go at them to the point where they were like, look, old man, you're not going to stop me from getting this money. You're not going to stop me from being a star. And that's what I see with Anthony Edwards. I'm just so happy that we have a player like that that's an American, and it's going to be fun to cover him during his career.
Gus, away from basketball, really, and more about you, I'm always amazed. You know, Mike and I are analysts for football games, and it's one sport. It's the main sport we did. We go in the booth year after year for football. You have done basketball, both NBA, WNBA, college basketball, football, Canadian League football, boxing, MMA, and other sports I'm sure I'm missing. For a play-by-play person like yourself, how difficult is that and to go from sport to sport? And in your eyes and in your experience, what's been the most difficult one to try and master as a play-by-play?
Well, Mike, Senior, I think that, you know, if I wouldn't be doing this job, I'd be a gym teacher. Probably be teaching gym. We'd be playing dodgeball in sixth period, you know? But I love sports. I played every sport known to mankind pretty much growing up. Mom had me all into the sports. So going from sport to sport, you know, there are techniques that you have to use when you're calling basketball as opposed to football, as opposed to soccer, as opposed to boxing or mixed martial arts or college football or college or NFL football, college basketball or NBA basketball. I've done the Olympics, the bobsled and the luge, called two Champions League finals, called two FA Cup finals. It's all different terminology, player names, but I enjoy that. I enjoy that study. I enjoy the education that I'm getting by transferring from sport to sport. But I just think that it's not difficult if you love it. And I love it. I love this job as a broadcaster. I love everything about it. It's been a salvation for me in my life. My career has always faithful.
If there is one thing that shines through in a Gus Johnson call, it is always the joy for whatever game is being played when he's on the screen. That much I can say for sure. Gus, is there anything you've called that was stranger than calling Jimmy Kimmel and Ted Cruz playing a one-on-one basketball game 5 years ago?
You know, the thing about it is Jimmy talked a lot of shit, but Ted beat his butt. Ted beat him. And then, you know, Jimmy's all out of shape, fat. Ted was in shape and determined. And I think Ted is a little older than Jimmy, if I if I remember correctly. But I thought that was so great. We were in Houston. Was it Houston? Yeah, we were in Houston. And they had the guys mic'd up, Ted and Jimmy Kimmel, and they were talking trash to each other. And Ted was serious about winning the game. And Jimmy wanted to talk in the middle of the game because he was tired and he needed some rest and he was about to fall out. So I did it with Isaiah Thomas too. So we were sitting there laughing at these fools, but it was just a great show. It was conservative versus liberal, and it was just fun. So it was weird. I got to be honest with you. I still have the T-shirt they gave me, but it was fun at the same time.
If there is any more proof you need that if it exists and it's a competition, Gus Johnson can call it and call the absolute hell out of it. Look no further than that event right there. Gus, we could sit here and talk to you all day. Can't thank you enough for the time and insight on every front here. Thank you so much, and we're excited to see you call them whatever you've got coming up next, because we know it's going to be great.
I appreciate you, Mike Jr., and thank you for sending out on I told you this before we started today. Thank you for sending out that cool picture on Easter. You know, when you said you tweeted that it'd be nice to see me call Resurrection Day, and you had Jesus crossing over the devil. I thought that was dope. And to be honest with you, I thought about it. You know, what would that be like if I did have a chance to call Jesus on Resurrection Day after 3 days coming out of the tomb and jumping back on the scene? You thought I was gone, but I'm all the way back, you know, something like that. So that would have been cool, though. Thank you.
Gus, you have no idea how happy that just made me.
Yeah, I think I might have used the LL Cool J line. Jesus pops out. Everybody sees him. He rises from the dead. And Jesus just looks out and says, "Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years." I think that's LL Cool J. Yeah, or Run DMC 1 and 2. Jesus just striking the pose. "Don't call it a comeback. Son, I've been here for years." So I did think about that.
That is awesome.
Thank you, Mike Jr. That was cool, man.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Bob. Amen. I appreciate you guys. Hey, like I said to you boys.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, say what absolutely. You said. What were you going
to
say?
I was just saying, I don't think there's ever been a better end to an interview than the Gus Johnson call of the resurrection. But no,
there
absolutely.
You go. Yeah, check out that picture, your fans. Tell them to check out that picture, because that was a dope picture. I don't know who that artist was, but it was just wonderful. And I saved that on my phone. But like I said to you guys before, I think this is very important for you all to understand that. And I'm sure you probably do, but you know, Mike Jr., having a chance to stay with your dad and hang with your dad and keep getting the wisdom from your dad. I lost my dad in 2009, and there's not a day. I lost my mom in 2014, but there's not a day. And that's my dad right there. Can you see my dad? That's him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right there. Yeah, I was in that picture. Uh-huh. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and we had that. 74 was it taken. I was painted, but there's not a day that goes by that I don't miss him. There's not a day that goes by that, like, I just wish he was here, even if he was fussing at me or yelling at me, telling me what I wasn't doing right. And to see you two working together every day, it really warms my heart to know that a father and son are working together, and they love each other and they get along with each other. And Mike continues to pass down his knowledge and his wisdom to you. And eventually you'll pass down your knowledge and your wisdom to your children. So well done, guys. Congratulations. Please enjoy this duration. Remember it vividly, Mike Jr., of being with your father, because he's not going to be here forever. And when they leave, they can't. They don't come back. You don't get to say hello. You don't get to say hi. You don't get to get a hug, or he doesn't get to give you a hard time. So please enjoy it.
No, thanks, absolutely. Gus. Definitely
appreciate
will, Gus. Absolutely. Don't take it for granted. That's for sure.
Yeah. And thanks, always man. Give him some money. Mike Jr., you're making money. Always give him some money. And don't make him have to ask for it.
Nope.
Always once or twice a week, you slip him a $20 bill. Here, Dad, that's for you. Just hold that for me, okay? That's for you. Put it like in his pocket. Right? There's got to be something
there
for him.
There we go.
All this stuff he done for you, giving you his DNA, going to Notre Dame and all that kind of stuff, getting you on TV, on the radio, podcast, whatever this is called. Make sure you take care of your pops. Right, Mike Sr.?
You got it. You got it, Gus. That's great advice to give to that kid. Hope he listens.
My man.
<All right.
laughs>
Thanks, Gus.
My man. All right, guys. Talk Thank to you for having me. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Gus.
You got it now.
Appreciate
right,
it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
I can tell you this, Dad. He didn't know how much longer your money is than mine, so that weekly allowance probably isn't coming through. But I will pay whatever God I need to and give thanks to for the fact that we got Gus Johnson to call the resurrection. Never in my wildest dreams did I think he'd see that tweet, and never in my wildest dreams did I think it would lead us to that moment in sports history.
That was something. I mean, that would be one of the great calls of all time, right? And he started laying it out. Yeah, it was pretty cool when you tweeted that out on Easter, we were talking about that, you know, a bunch. It was, and then for him to go into it, which isn't shocking that he would give it a go.
No, I was. It's one of those moments where anytime someone says, "I saw what you tweeted about me," and you hold your breath. Because you never know.
Yeah.
The volume shooter. Who knows what I could have said there? And the fact that Gus Johnson happened to see that particular tweet and was so moved by the spirit. You can't ask for anything more. Just like you can't ask for anything more about this series between the Pacers and Knicks. Unless, of course, it's the boogeyman showing up for game two next. Growing up playing sports, I learned really quickly that how you do the little things is how you're going to do everything. That's why coaches always harped on us about having our hand behind the line on sprints or picking up our locker, because that was going to directly translate to critical moments on the field, making sure we're lined up right, taking the right steps so we can go out there and execute and win ball games. Small actions can have big benefits. Just like how taking care of your gut can support your entire body's health. That's where our friends at Seed come into play. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic is going to benefit your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. I just got my welcome kit and started taking Seed's DSO1 myself, and I'm loving it. I love the convenience of being able to have it in the cabinet with my other supplements because you don't need to worry about refrigerating it, and I love the free travel vial that comes along with it. I'm constantly on the road, and so being able to take DSO1 with me on the go is huge for my lifestyle. Here. I'll tell you what else I love is the fact that it's backed by science. DSO1 was developed in collaboration with Seed's Scientific Board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you can trust. And it's great in convenience, too. Probiotics and prebiotics work best when they're used consistently, just like any other routine health habit. And Seed's subscription service is going to easily help build DSO1 into your routine, again, with no refrigeration required. So, trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.
Back to Gojo and Golic. Reggie Miller, after 29 years, almost to the day, is returning to MSG, but this time he's talking about the game. He is not playing in it, but I'm sure you guys can remember May 7th, 1995. He scored 8 points in the final 9 seconds to get the dub in game one of the conference finals. The Pacers squared off with the Knicks in the postseason 6 times over an 8-year span when he played. And of course, he got the nickname Boogeyman. He made fans mad. He made players mad. But I think he was likable outside of MSG. However, he is returning, and he had to send out a warning to the fans there.
Like, oh, will you get booed on Wednesday night?
I will be surprised during the game if I don't hear Reggie sucks. I'll be a little hurt if I don't hear Reggie sucks. I get it, New Yorkers. The way they took over Philadelphia and how they acted, I get it. But just know the boogeyman is coming back to town to call a game. Okay?
At least he's ready for it, Senior, right? He has the right attitude.
those games in 94 and especially 95, that's right when I got, like, I retired in 94 and started doing stuff with ESPN for college football. But in 95, I started doing morning radio out here in Arizona while doing the college games for ESPN, doing a morning show out here. So that was right during that time. So obviously, if we weren't talking local here, we were talking national of the playoffs. And that, I mean, Reggie Miller, what, in his 18 years, went against the Knicks six times in the playoffs. They split it 3-3, but we remember, I think it was the 95, right? In game five, we had 39 points, 25 in the fourth quarter. That was the infamous choke sign to Spike Lee sitting in the stands there. I mean, just iconic photograph, iconic stuff of watching Reggie in the history of the Knicks was pretty fun to watch as for someone who had played sports all my life and then had just gotten into the sports media and got to talk about this with an open mic.
Yeah, I think so much of these days we think of a lot more interplay between athletes and the people that cover the sport because we've got social media now. Like, we see it happen all the time there. And between entertainers, the same thing. Everybody has a little bit more access to each other. That moment in real life is the peak of that, right? It is a fan, and in this case, a celebrity fan, so deep inside the game that he actually helped drive an opposing player to come in and torch the Knicks. And that was all the things down at that time that were best about basketball, right? Madison Square Garden, yeah, as this mecca and place where opposing players wanted to come in and make their mark. And that certainly, I mean, the most iconic instance of a player and a fan getting into it outside of Malice in the Palace, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, this was in a obviously a nonviolent way. But I mean, yeah, the two most recognizable, you know, when I was coming up like this, as I talked about, was Spike Lee at Madison Square Garden and Jack Nicholson, you know, for the Lakers. You know, those were like the two, and that's certainly grown over the years, and Spike is still doing his thing. So, yeah, it was cool because you love rivalries, right? Especially if you're a fan and you like one particular, you know, jersey, and you get to hate another jersey or any player in that jersey. But then you had real rivalries, you know, of player on player, let alone team on team or player on team. You had a lot of rivalries.
So it's one of those things where on a fine line, because it can always go overboard where you worry about someone doing something dumb or someone saying something truly out of bounds. But when you can strike that perfect note where a fan base just hates your guts as a player, I don't know if there's anything better. Like he said it there.
Yep.
It's a respect thing where when he walks in, he wants to hear that because he knows I meant something to you. It might have been a really negative thing, but I meant something to you. And getting over in that instance there, it's the best part of sports villainy, Dad. Like when you look down a list at some of the greatest sports villains of all time, it's all that perfect balance of incredible. Like I think the zenith of that conversation is probably Christian Laettner, right? Like the archetype for the white Duke hateable basketball player who also matched that by being really great in college. Like that's the other part. You can't be some schlep and go out here and be the villain for a team. You got to be a dog. And so that kind of thing where it's two fan bases that already have some disdain, but really it's about what you've done to them that makes it so special and so savory.
Well, what's so great about it, you know this as well. You love playing in front of your home crowd, but there's nothing like going on the road and shutting up an away crowd, right? There is nothing like, and then, especially in that sport, when we talked about the proximity of player and fan, I mean, you're right there on the fans, which I give the players even more credit for their patience and tolerance of not wanting to just go off on somebody and smoke them, as opposed to football where there's a lot more distance in between. So there is nothing like that. When you go on and you're at your hotel, it's like you against everybody else. You get to the arena or the field or the ice or whatever, and you can have a direct effect. Like you said, to be a great player like a Reggie Miller and have a direct effect and just look into those fans' eyes and be right there with them and just say, I'm daggering you, and there ain't a damn thing that you can do about it.
I think there's also something to the fact when you play into it too, because like for years, you know, Tom Brady terrorized pretty much everyone in the NFL, but especially the AFC East. But outside of the let's effing go at the beginning, it wasn't like Tom Brady was a guy openly antagonizing those fan bases. He was largely robotic.
Right.
Versus let's say Aaron Rodgers with the Bears, who basically came out and said, yes, I am your daddy. Yes, I'm your owner. Like talked open smack to that fan base and was in general a lot more antagonistic. Like, that's another part of it, is you got to be willing to play a game. We had a linebacker at Notre Dame, Brian Smith. We'd go on the road and he would just go stand in front of the opposing team student section, and he would just stand over there and nod his head and listen to them all boo him and let it fuel him. And it works great when you've got someone that's willing to court that smoke. But I think that's a big part of it too, that separates them from other guys who don't go and openly taunt the fan base.
I still remember the biggest thing I did in front of fans was, it was my senior year. We played at LSU, and I bought an LSU hat for that one. And where we had to walk from the bus to the stadium, we had to walk right through like students who lined up on both sides and just were yelling at us and such. And I remember I wore the hat, and I was walking through there, and as I was right in the middle of all the LSU fans and students, I took the hat off, I looked at it, I spit on it, I threw it on the ground, and I stomped it. It's, you know, one of those dumb college things to do, but luckily we won the game, so I was happy about that. But yeah, that was because I was never one of those guys. I was horrible at lines on the field, talking smack. I never looked into the crowd and tried to. I wasn't that type of player. I wasn't, certainly in the pros, wasn't good enough to be talking smack on anybody. Like, yeah, I'm showing you, you know, what I'm all about, when I really wasn't. But it was always interesting of guys that could do that.
Yeah, no, I subscribe to the theory as a dead dog average football player that one man once said, Zach Strief, the former right tackle for the Saints, you don't get bonus points for blocking a guy when he's mad. That was my thought process. Yep. Was, I got to work hard enough to do this anyway. I don't need the supercharged version of this right now. So a guy who doesn't have to worry about that's going to be Jalen Brunson going into tonight, Dad. Chasing an interesting record right now. So he's got four straight games of over 40 points in this one here. I believe the all-time record for that is six games. So do you think he gets a fifth tonight?
To be consistently doing that, Mike, is so hard. It's got to end at some point. I do think the Pacers can get one out of New York, so I'll say no, he doesn't do it. I just hope the refs aren't a part of this enough. How many times have we seen in their two-minute report or whatever at the end of the game the things that they missed? And we know what they missed a couple in game one of this series. So, and as I said, the whistle blows the most in that sport than any other sport, Claudia. So I get it that there's going to be some bad calls there, but you hope nothing that really you go, wow, this may have hurt one of the teams really bad.
Well, I'm saying, wow, looking at this line right now for Jalen Brunson, 36.5, juice to the over, minus 135, which sounds crazy, but Gojo, like you said, he's been doing it.
And he's going to have to keep doing it. The record is six by Jerry West, and obviously Bernard King is who he joined in this territory at four in Knicks fame, too. But, Dad, we mentioned it earlier in the show, Mitchell Robinson going to be out now 6 to 8 weeks, so yet another hit to the limited depth of this New York Knicks team. And so Jalen Brunson kind of has no choice right now. It's their backs against the wall continually. If the Pacers are going to steal one, it's going to be tonight. I think with that in mind, with them coming off a very stressful game one, a taxing game one, this is when Indiana's got a strike, but we'll see if Jalen Brunson has something to say about that.
Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd join the crime-solving trio of Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez for the best season to date of Hulu's Only Murders in the Building. The series is for your Emmy consideration in all categories, including Outstanding Comedy Series, Outstanding Lead Actor and Actress in a Comedy Series for Martin, Short, and Gomez, and Outstanding Supporting Actor and Actress for Rudd and Streep. For more information, visit fyc.hulu.com.
Welcome back to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Claudia Bellafato here. And as we round out the day with a little NFL talk, excited to be joined by former All-Pro cornerback and Super Bowl champion Chris Harris Jr. of Denver Broncos fame. Chris, good morning, man. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Just sent the girls off to school, man. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, there we go. What's your role in the preschool routine now that you're settling into retirement here? Like, are you a guy that makes lunch? Do you help with the backpacks? What's your job here?
Yeah. Oh, man, definitely. Try to do as much as I can. You know, my wife usually does a great job of preparing the lunches and things like that. But, you know, I'll definitely prepare the backpacks, you know, get them ready. drop them off at school, pick them up. So whatever I can to help her out, for sure.
So, Chris, you're a guy that comes in the league undrafted in 2011. All you do is play, what, 12 years, win a Super Bowl, four-time Pro Bowler, two-time second-team All-Pro, one-time first-team All-Pro. Pretty damn impressive for being not drafted out of Kansas. So, yeah. Kind of, you know, only been out of the league a year, but we heard J.J. Watt, hey, if the Texans call, I may come back. We've heard Tom Brady say, hey, maybe I'll come back. Does that still – you're still close enough to it to where is there still a thought process that, I could still do this, and B, would I still try and do this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, in my situation, it wasn't like I wasn't still trying to play. You know, I still feel like I can play and make an impact on somebody's team, you know, especially as safety, you know, playing corner and then playing nickel. You know, I never got the chance to play safety. I played straight corner. You know, I already had solid, great tackling abilities, understanding the game of scheme and being able to play all over the field. I thought I could be able to go shut some of these tight ends down. I think I can now. So, you know, I definitely believe I still can go do that. But, you know, sometimes the NFL lets you know, man, that it's time to move on.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Like you say, it usually retires everybody else and not the other way around. It's the business that you know very well there. You mentioned that switch to safety, though. How much has that changed, that job of safeties around the NFL and in the secondary in general in the last few seasons? We've seen so many people playing more too high, playing back off to stop all these big plays. How much did that change the job for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, playing safety now in the league, you got to be able to be versatile. You got to be able to cover guys in the slot. Be able to cover tight ends. Sometimes you might be matched up on receivers. You got to be able to do it all. You know, play the deep middle. Play the deep half, like you're saying, in the two shell coverage, right? And so you got to be very versatile. And I thought that would be an easy transition for me. But now, you know, with these guys that they have coming in, they got to be able to cover, be able to play the run, and be able to blitz some too. So you got to be pretty much all-purpose playing safety in today's game.
Transition from corner to safety, and now you're looking to make the transition from football to broadcast. We want to get into that in a minute, but you finished up with the Chargers and then the Saints, but most of your career, everybody knows you with the Denver Broncos. So this is a team that last won the Super Bowl when you were on the team, when Peyton Manning was a quarterback, and they've been looking for a quarterback ever since, been through coaches as well. Where do you think they are now from that standpoint?
Yeah. I think we found our guy. You know, I'm hoping that he comes out there and has a solid year. I don't expect him to start fast, right? I don't expect Bo Nix to start fast coming in with a new offense, you know, new system, especially being a rookie and not really having the continuity with the receivers, right? Most other veteran quarterbacks, like Mahomes, for a sake, he just won a Super Bowl, but he's already out there with his receivers in Texas. They're already on the same page. Right, a guy like Bo Nix is missing those times right now. He's missing the practice time on the field that you would see from the other veterans. So he's already behind a little bit. So I expect him to probably heat up in the midseason to the end and have a very good second year.
What do you like about his game that you think can translate? Because there's a lot of people that wonder with the offense he ran in college and trying to make the jump into Sean Payton's system now, is he capable of that?
Man, in today's game in the NFL, it's so wide open and spread, right? People don't get mad at Mahomes when he gets 5 to 10 bubbles a game, right? They just see at the end of the game, they just see his stats, right? But that's what the Chiefs do, right? They run a lot of things that Oregon run. I think with Coach Payton, right, we've seen that Bo Nix was one of the top accurate quarterbacks in college football last year. So, and being able to throw the football over the middle. And in Sean Payton's system, you have to be able to do that, right? You got to be able to decipher fast. He usually has two plays in each call, right? So Bo Nix, I think he's smart enough to be able to process that, put us in the right play, and I think he's a very accurate quarterback. So I'm excited to see what this kid can do.
Hey, it's not like, other quarterbacks aren't throwing bubbles, slants, hitches, and swing passes, right? I mean, and then looking at the stats at the end of the game, it's about getting the ball into your receiver's hands and letting them do their thing. I want to take people on the field, because I've talked about this, but I was a D lineman. So for me, rule changes didn't really affect a whole lot, except not landing on the quarterback anymore. I never really got to the quarterback anyway. Mike was an offensive lineman. You were a cornerback and you got in the league in 2011. So you played through kind of the switch of where the rules really started getting enforced. You guys really started getting handcuffed with how you could cover receivers. Take us on the field and tell us how much more difficult that defensive back position has become over the years.
Oh, extremely difficult. You know, when I came in, it was like the end of the illegal contact era, right? And y'all don't understand how much easier it is to cover a guy when you can illegal contact him, right? When you can bump him, kind of slow his momentum a little bit and they don't call it, right? And that's what the older guys had. They had that advantage, right? And they took that away when I came in the league. So that made it where we had to really learn how to really cover and not really slow down their speed while they're running a 10-yard, you know, out route or anything like that. But usually we could get in the way of them and kind of slow them down with the illegal contact. So they took that away. Also the hitting, right? You have to be, these hits that I see are sometimes legal hits. Right. And they're getting flagged because they're illegal hard hits. Right. And and I think that's the issue. That's something that we got to get some consistency on. And back then in my era, we could hit. Right. I still had Ray Lewis, Dawkins. I still had the OGs when I was playing, you know, for a good 6 years. So we could still hit. But now they're kind of taking that part away. And it's going to be hard for another defense, I think, to be on our level, like the Legion of Boom, the no fly zone or the old historic defenses that you see, just because they're not going to strike that fear. Like, we struck fear when you had to come see the 2015 Broncos.
You know what? Speaking of that physicality, we only got a couple minutes left here, Chris. We really appreciate your time. I'm assuming you saw the Austin Rivers comments about he could find 30 basketball players to come play football. What did you think when you heard that? Because I know every football player, for the most part, thinks that they can hoop. But what did you think about how easily he thought NBA players could make that switch?
I think just because he's seen, you know, Antonio Gates, Gonzalez, you know, those guys make smooth transitions. But, you know, they're outliers, you know. Those are once-in-a-lifetime type athletes, those guys, you know. But I think we should just respect each other's sport. A lot of us, you know, I grew up playing against a lot of these guys in the NBA, like Blake Griffin, you know, I played tons of these guys that are in the NBA, right? AAU basketball. And I'm pretty sure they probably played, I'm not the only one, right? So a lot of us played two sports, played three sports, and everybody's athletic could do it. But to be the elite profession, it's going to be very hard for those guys to come play football. And the same thing with us, you know. Going over there to play their sport. So I don't think they would make it through 3 days in training camp, you know, with them pads on in the heat. That's just my opinion. But I just like to respect each other's profession.
I want to see the NBA players after the first day with helmets when all of a sudden that neck's creaking for that first time. You put it on after the offseason. You'd have guys tap after that. There's no doubt about it. At Chris Harris Jr. on Twitter is where you can check it out, and I'm sure you're going to see him plenty more across TV screens and in front of microphones near you. Chris, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris.
Definitely. Yeah, Dad, I think we underrate that in this conversation overall is just having to put on the extra weight of pads and make it through that. Because you know that first day of training camp when you put that helmet back on is one of the worst days in its own right.
Absolutely horrific. And you're right. 3 days in, you may get some guys tapping saying, I didn't sign up for this kind of soreness or hitting.
No, exactly. Leave that one for the birds. Coming up next, though. Two Kavanaughs on the same lacrosse team? Where have I seen this before? Next on Gojo and Golic. All right, guys, time to finish off the show the way we always do. This, that, and the third. Three quick stories to send you into the rest of the day. Make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a 5-star rating, and check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. If you missed that, you can catch the best of Gojo and Golic noon to 1 p.m. Eastern wherever you hear VSiN on the radio. And if you miss any of that there or our great guests live, and our thanks to play-by-play legend Gus Johnson for joining us to call the resurrection, and Chris Harris Jr., Super Bowl champion cornerback, kind enough to give us some time this morning. You can hear them wherever you hear your podcast or right here on YouTube as soon as we get done. Guys, let's get to this. More Notre Dame lacrosse propaganda. Last night, the Premier Lacrosse League college draft went on over on ESPN, and a really cool moment for Notre Dame's Pat Cavanaugh, who obviously won a national championship for the Irish last year on Notre Dame playing with his younger brother, Chris, and then last night was drafted 5th overall in the Premier Lacrosse League draft, but to go and play with his brother, none other than Matt Cavanaugh with the PLL Atlas, or excuse me, the Boston Cannons, excuse me. Those two get to link up there now. Matt Cavanaugh, dad played at Notre Dame, finished up in 2015, was part of an incredible run there, and was probably the greatest player in program history until his younger brother, Pat, came along now. And so the tenacity on the ride for the Boston Cannons going to be through the roof here, man. But cool moment for the Cavanaugh family to get to see these guys keep linking up.
I mean, it's this family has been incredible. That's why I continue to say, are they the greatest, I guess, most acclaimed family in Notre Dame history? You know, there have been obviously brothers and families before. We're one of them, where I had two brothers there and family there. But as far as what they've accomplished in getting the title last year with a couple of Cavanaughs and maybe to back-to-backs and then the rest of the Cavanaughs and what they have done there, it's going to be hard-pressed to find a family that has produced more than this family has. Hopefully they can do the back-to-back this year, but it's impressive. They're fun to watch, and it's just an incredible family to watch play.
They are junkyard dogs. Their game reminds me a lot, I was thinking in this NBA playoffs, of Jalen Brunson. Like, not the biggest guys in the world, not the most athletically gifted guys in the world, but tenacity, leadership, using their body to create space on offense. And it should be noted, Pat Cavanaugh, who was a top pick, he was the 6th overall pick to the Boston Cannons to go join his brother Matt and leaving Notre Dame as the all-time points leader. Not the first Notre Dame player off the board, though. That belongs to Liam Entman, who went one spot ahead of him at 5 to the Atlas. Notre Dame's goalie, back-to-back ACC goalie and defensive player of the year, tournament MOP last year, and has a good chance to be the Tuaritan on the college lacrosse Heisman Trophy winner this year with the performance he's put on. So he goes there. Notre Dame also had their midfielder Eric Dobson go in the 2nd round to the Chaos. So good night to be Irish in the PLL. Yep. Excited to see the next step for all of those guys in the fastest growing sport on 2 feet. As always, Claudia, let's get to that, though. Speaking of another sport that's growing incredibly fast, big news out of the WNBA yesterday on a front they had been pushing for a while.
Yeah, for years, far beyond the Caitlin Clark era. $50 million they're committing to 2 years to get charters for the women, full-time charter flight service for its teams during the season. Now, as you mentioned, Gojo, there's been player safety concerns over the years, so this means no more security lines, no more need for bodyguards in public places, cramped legroom, layovers, all the things that us common folk have to deal with. These girls deserve it. Give them their charter flights. Gojo, I think it's time.
Yeah, Dad, this is something that had been talked about a lot, especially in the wake of Brittany Griner returning to the league and some of the security concerns around her after the detainment in Russia. Obviously, the star power of Caitlin Clark, also seeing her walking through the airport, having to have security in there as well. But this is also the league continuing to invest in treating their players like the pros that they are, and I think that goes a long way as well.
So a lot of it comes down to how you want to spend your money, right? Because you look at, you know, everybody wants to say, you know, what are they compared to the NBA? I mean, it's not a comparison. The NBA makes $10 billion a year. But the WNBA and how they're growing, Mike, in 2023, their gross revenue was $200 million, which was a 200% increase off 2022. So it had been growing. They get $15 million a year from the NBA to go along with what they make in revenue as well. So it does come down to how do you decide to spend your money and treat your players. Now, again, I'm sure players would love to see salaries go up even more, and maybe that will be something that obviously they look for to happen in the future. But right now, the league, and I know the players wanted this as well. So you take that expense of $25 million a year and say, okay, this is the next level we're going to. I'm very happy for them because it is just a great way to travel if you're a team for a sport and a league that is really, really growing.
I think that a lot, Dad, where the sport in athletics, you have to negotiate with your body and mind. We've seen the NFL negotiate for less time on the field and give up stuff in negotiation to ensure that's happened to give themselves a better chance long term. For the W, this is about, and they had already said they were committing to more charter flights for things like back to backs that were going to be more common, especially this year with the Olympic break built into the summer. But this is something that overall can alleviate a lot of that stress on the body that comes with travel. We've seen video over the years of WNBA teams stuck in the airport because the commercial flights sometimes have delays and cancellations and things like that. Shout out to Dejanay Carrington for keeping it a buck, though, and saying she is going to miss the fact that her airline status and all the free points that she got from booking these flights was going to affect her Delta Sky miles. That is a woman who understands the travel game at a level that I deeply appreciate right now. But congrats to the women of the W. They are an absolute rocket ship right now, or in this case, a charter flight continuing to soar higher and higher. The third, I am very excited for. Claudia, this is your show and your story, so please take it away.
Forget about Florida man. There is a Massachusetts woman, 32 years old, who changed her identity secretly. She lied. She got arrested for this. But she went into a high school, three separate high schools, as a 16-year-old. She stayed in one of the schools for 7 months. She played on the women's girls' basketball team. She handed in homework. She hung around after school and hung out with these kids as if she was a 16-year-old. But it doesn't stop there. She was also a state social worker, so she would go to school and then go to work. And it doesn't stop there. She then dropped her age down to 13 and transferred to another school and acted as a 13-year-old. She's 32 years old. So yes, eventually she got caught and now she's facing identity fraud and criminal forgery, but I feel like there should be more charges because what? Like, your face is this what I expected, yeah.
Well, but, like, this is the plot of 21 Jump Street, more or less, except she's not a cop going here undercover to try and stop a drug ring, but it's the same idea that, what, like, I guess there's, like, one picture on the Boston Globe that's kind of cracked and manufactured for a dramatic cover, but, like, you know, God love her, she looks young. How is she passing for 13? What teachers are inside the school not asking any questions or raising any red flags?
She put braces on. She got fitted for braces.
Yeah.
And apparently she went into some mental facility and got her name, on her fake name, into their records. So that's why the school wasn't really asking. I did a deep dive last night in the rabbit hole. It's bizarre.
Yeah, changed her name, new identity to Ellie Blake. And when she dropped her age to 13 years old, as you mentioned, had herself fitted for braces. She even managed to con her way into a pair of foster parents. So here's my question: why? I mean, what was the goal of this? What was she, Claudia? You're the one that dove into this. What was the goal of this? She obviously got caught. What was the whole idea behind this? What was she trying to accomplish?
She just wanted to show up the girls, you know, hoops. She wanted to go back and play basketball.
I was going to say, what did she average?
I
need her high school basketball stats.
Same.
And I need them yesterday right now.
I would have been so pissed.
Because if you weren't giving these kids buckets out there, you should be ashamed of yourself. It should look like Teen Wolf out there. You should be so damn good at this. It's ridiculous. That's the one thing we need. At Gojo and Golic right now, if you're familiar with this story or you're from the area and you remember seeing her hoop, let us know if she was actually a bucket or not. Because if not, Dad, I'm with you. What an insane, I mean, it's already, like, clearly someone who's not in their right mind, who would willingly get themselves fitted for braces as a 32-year-old who does not need them. It's one thing if you're going to take care of yourself. It's another to do that just for sport. There's a bunch of other weird rabbit holes we could go down with this, but Claudia, this is depraved. I am so proud of you for bringing this to our attention. Thank you. Here goes the rest of my day now. I'll be busy checking out and finding out everything I can about this wild woman. For the rest of you, spend your time downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast, leaving it a 5-star rating, and telling us how much you enjoyed it. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.